This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios. Hello, my gentle snowflakes. This is Deese. You know me as host of The Social Hour. But now, you can find me every Tuesday hosting the brand new Drink and Debate podcast. The Drink and Debate is an improv comedy competition in which four teams of comedians from all over the Pacific Northwest face off for beer, glory, and the title of Master Debaters. Wait, what? For beer, glory, as they master debating. Shit. Master to debater. It still sounds like I'm saying masturbate. Master to... son of a bitch. Screw it, we're doing it live! As comedians debate some things, so join us on the Drink and Debate podcast. Every Tuesday, you can find us on socialhourpod.com or on iTunes. And find the Drink and Debate live shows every month at the Spokane Comedy Club, hosted by myself and comedian Nick Cavassier. Go to SpokaneComedyClub.com for all the details. We'll see you there.
Hello, my name is Will Gilman, producer of The Hustle. We were asked to come up with a family-friendly promo, which is difficult because we curse a lot, and generally speaking, it's a no-holds-barred comedy show. We use words like ass, bitch, f***er, c***t, and n***er. You see, we are an edgy show. We use words like abs, bits, further, cart, and nearer. You see, we are an edgy show. That'll trick him. Now, where'd I put my chocolate milk?
Hustle. That's right, it's The Hustle, with your hosts Adam Tucker, Travis Powell with the news, and occasionally Will Gilman. You can find more Hustle at pantspending.com/hustle.
I know you got to get your hustle on, so I pray.
Pants pending.
You're now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I can hear your liver throbbing.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, that's my cock.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour with producer Traz Swartout and Jay Mitz on the news. And now your host, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last, Deese Casillas.
Malam keen, everyone. Welcome back to The Social Hour. We are reunited, and it feels so good. Little Peaches and Herb here. It's been a while since we've been in the studio. We've got the crew. I've got Traz and Jay here. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, it feels good, to be back.
I miss you guys.
I know. I missed you guys, too. I feel like it's been too long. It's been an interesting couple weeks with the podcast. We went through our little debacle with GoDaddy. Fuck them. We are no longer on. We are completely removed from GoDaddy, which is great. As you hear this, I'm still working on getting all the back episodes. Or I'm sorry, as you hear this, all those back episodes have been uploaded. You've heard them all. We're back on track. But we're back in studio, reunited, and it feels so good. It's good to be back in the studio with the crew. No guests tonight. We're just going to hang out for about an hour and BS. I've got some stuff to talk about. We're going to do the news. So you just listen to that.
God, that's smooth. Say
goodbye. Not in the stool. There's one perfect
this one was it. Yeah.
Just realized I don't know the words to the song.
Oh, reunited. Yeah. That's right. It's going to be a good show, though. I purposely did not book a guest this episode because I wanted to just a little bit of a truncated episode again. We're going to do an hour about that, just kind of talk and catch up with everyone and see kind of end of summer, moving into fall. Things are changing.
Yeah.
Transition period in life. I know I've had plenty going on. I want to catch up with you guys because Traz I see fairly regularly. Still, Jay, I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. So,
I know. It has been a hot second.
Yeah. So I want to just kind of catch up with the listeners and give a little recap as we move into, you know, as this comes out, this will probably be middle of October-ish. So, yeah, just kind of recap for everyone. See what's going on.
Jay, how come you don't visit us on Sundays?
I'm sorry. I don't have an excuse. I will
just a bad friend.
Well, no, okay, so normally I bartend on Sundays and then afterwards I go out for drinks, so I'm too drunk to drive and I'm responsible.
You can come get drunk at the piano bar.
Yeah.
What time are you off?
That's super valid, like 3.
Oh. And you can also support the local comedy scene.
Yeah,
you know, the people that support you, Jay.
Okay, right. fine, I'll be there.
The Riddler Piano Bar every Sunday at 718 West Riverside Avenue at 8 p.m. That's the Social Hour Comedy Showcase. I think it's just been rocking. We've had some great nights. Had Eric Escobar there last night as we record this, not as you hear this. But we've got some other comics coming up from L.A. Ryan Reeves is going to be here, or maybe he was here by the time you hear this. He's going to be back.
Oh, he's back.
He's come back in a couple weeks. Nice. And I've got some people, Sarah Aswell from Missoula, Montana, coming over. She's just a gem. She's super funny. Met her over the summer doing comedy in Montana. Excited to have her on. But that show, yeah, the show's been rocking. We did an updated version of Comedy Confessions. Actually, as you hear this, our next edition of Comedy Confessions will be coming out on the 15th, October 15th at the Riddler. That's going to be fun. That's a new format, reworked format, fun show.
How did that go?
It was amazing.
Nice.
I couldn't have asked for it to go better. It went far better than I imagined it even would have.
Nice. Who was on that?
The first one we had Josh Tieford, Mika Lahman, and Folger Emerson.
Nice.
And it went really well. The next one's going to have Michael Glatzmeyer, Casey Strain, and Spokane's Funniest Person, Tom Iceford.
When is that?
October 15th. So that's going to be
that.
A super fun show. It's going to
be totally
so
be down for
good.
That.
So the new format, the former format for Comedy Confessions was we had kind of wacky topics like baby mama drama or jail tales. And each, mm-hmm. we'd have 3 comics who would get to do about 15 minutes, kind of a storytellers type. Just kind of tell stories, comedic stories about it, which was fun. But the way we reworked it is I'll go up and I'll host. I do about 10 minutes up front. I bring the first comic up. They do about 8 minutes. Then I sit down with them for about 15 minutes and interview them, ask them weird questions, provocative stuff, try and draw some funny stories out. And then we open it up to the audience to ask them a couple questions and repeat with the next few comics. So
is their set just material or is
whatever
it
they
want to
do?
The
it's no, there's no topic.
No
topic.
I like that.
So it's they're not bound to any particular mm-hmm. Subject matter. They just get to kind of prognosticate and see what they come up with.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it's so dope because the confessions is like the interview afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like a lot of the questions and stuff can come from the material that they just did.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. I like that because my beef originally with confessions was that 15 minutes is a long amount of time to fill if you're just doing stories on a really niche subject like jail tales. Even if you were arrested, finding 15 minutes of comedic worthy material on that could be really difficult.
It can be tough, and that's why it was harder to pick and choose topics and pick who to put on the topic and to know that we could get the time out of them and decent time. Where this, it's great because I will ask questions and like people didn't really realize this until afterwards. Well, maybe I think one or two of the comics may have understood it, but I catered a lot of questions to specific comics mm-hmm. for reasons, you know, because I'm like, all right, this will be funnier with me asking them this question. And then their response will be funnier because I know kind of know them and what they will, what's funny, what their strengths are. Or weaknesses, too, because that can be funny also.
What's an example of a question that you ask to a certain comedian?
Like, I think, so, I asked, like, Folger, like, what was a odd turn on for him? Because I knew that would be an interesting thing, because Folger's got a lot of, like, dichotomy in that area, a lot of weird, you know, interesting, kind of, I don't mean quirks and, like, he's into, like, weird shit.
I don't mean that.
But I mean, just, you know, I kind of like kind of catered it to make it a little more weird with different comics.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm playing in the same thing the next time. And yeah, it was interesting to see the way they reacted. And if a question went over well, you know, we would stay on it. If a question didn't go, it was just kind of like, you know, one and done, we can move on. But we have the opportunity to dwell on a question for as long as it's still funny.
So there's
as much, there was no agenda necessarily. It was just like, I had some questions, and then Harry, King Peppersnake, Harry Riley, you all know him, was like sending me questions on my phone, like in real time as I was sitting there. So I was like going through my questions and his questions, and it was interesting. I think it went really well. I'm excited to do it again. I think it's going to be a hit. I think it, like, long term, it's a nice format show.
Totally.
Nice.
So, it did go over really well.
Yeah.
Added a lot of audience participation.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. And a lot more improv, like you're saying. You can sort of like dwell on topics or go with things that they said. And it's a solid format.
Yeah.
October 15th?
October 15th.
I'll definitely come out to that one.
I think that the...
Yeah, right.
Really the...
well...
from my view, anyway... I think the audience's favorite part was the interview portion, much more than the, you know, not that all the three comics didn't have good stand-up sets, but I think the interview portion was more what was entertaining to them. You know, I think they were more into that part, and it was a good crowd. I mean, it was a nice, pretty full room that night, you know?
Good.
So yeah, it's good. That's good. But yeah, that's just been one of the things on my agenda. It's funny. I thought I was under the impression my fall was going to slow down.
Silly days.
That's what I was planning. I'm like, fall, slow down. It'll be easier. Like, I realize, like, I'm slowly losing my mind. I literally asked someone what year it was the other day.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was working on something. I looked back and I'm like, what year is it? Like, what? And I'm like, 26, 16, 17, 17, okay. And like, it took me a second. Like, I'm slowly losing my mind. I think, I said this before, but fall time, like, my internal clock just gets all fucking whacked out.
Yeah.
And I don't sleep as well. And there's something about, like, listen, being hungover and being strung out on drugs and, like, you know, there's lots of things that are, you know, having the flu, there's lots of things that are bad and kind of mess your day up and your homeostasis. But there is nothing worse than being extremely sleep deprived, in my opinion. Like, there is nothing that is worse than that. Like,
I totally agree.
It just, you get whacked out in a way you can't even, you know, you can kind of like power through being hungover, because you're just like a shittier version of yourself.
Yeah,
like you know,
hangover or like with a headache, and
right?
Nauseous,
yeah, and like kind of irritable. But when you're tired, you're like the the color tone of everything changes, and you're like, I don't know, like you're slower, you can't kind of, you're just misfiring.
I get a little delirious.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think it's actually kind of fun though.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I used to call it the fuzz. I just have this little bit of kind of fuzz hanging out, yeah. So I've been trying to keep my shit together. I thought I was going to get a reprieve this fall. It doesn't look like it's happening. October's going to be a little light for me, luckily, comparatively to most months. But November, I was looking at my calendar, and out of 30 days in November, I have 20 days of shows.
Jesus, are you serious?
Yeah.
That's insane. So, I mean, that's really cool, but that's insane.
I'm like, oh, good. That's I'm not sure that's the break I was
looking
for. Okay,
so podcast, Riddler shows, and then is the rest just touring stand-up or what?
Yeah, I've got two different weekends in at the Comedy Club Jokers in Richland. First weekend, I'll be at Richland opening for Mike Walters, I believe. Right after Thanksgiving, I'm doing a weekend in Jokers opening for Harry Riley.
Oh, cool.
9th through the 11th, I'll be at the Spokane Comedy Club opening for Dan Cummins. And then I've got something in Missoula in the middle of the month, too. And then
Damn.
The Riddler and Drink and Debate and all that.
Dan Cummins, that's dope, dude.
Yeah, I'm
that
looking forward
really
to that
cool.
show. So.
I mean, so you do you feel burnt out or do you enjoy it?
Both.
Okay.
I think both is fair. I mean, I enjoy it. I do. I'm lucky and I enjoy it a lot. But like, it's there's times when I'm just like, I fucking can't. Like Saturday night, I was I went Saturday and did the thing at comedy thing at Valley Fest. Out in the valley, and the afterwards there was the Avista Beer Festival. I was supposed to go to that. I was supposed to go to the comedy club. There was some friends doing this, that, and the other, and I'm like, you know what? I went and sat by myself and had some beer and a Mexican food, and I'm like, I'm gonna go home. And I got in my pajamas and was in bed at 8 p.m. and was just like laying around watching Defenders, and that's what I did. I'm like, this is my night. I need a fucking night.
And you chose, I'm sorry, but you chose the Defenders?
Yeah, I'm trying to get through it. I actually like it. Have you watched it? You haven't even watched
it. No, I have. Thank you. I have watched it.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I got to like the last two episodes and I couldn't do it. I don't like the Hand. I think it's a stupid villain. I was really into Daredevil. I love Jessica Jones. I still have to watch Luke Cage, and I've heard that the Iron Fist is shitty.
Iron Fist is terrible. I couldn't
That's
get through
what
it.
That's everybody says.
I like it. I you know, it's fine enough. It's not as good as some of the other ones, but it's good. There's nothing else on there I really super want to watch, so.
Gotham. Dude, have you watched Gotham?
No.
Pass. I'm serious. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
I can't do it.
Do it.
I won't. I can't get sucked into something that's not finite.
Really?
No.
I mean, it kind of is. There are only three seasons on Netflix.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'll just watch Sunny again. God. No, but like, I won't, I don't want to sit through things that just have like, season after season after season.
Yeah.
You know, like this, this year I finally gave up on the Walking Dead too. I'm like, I'm done watching that show also.
Well, okay, I gave up two or three seasons ago because I feel like at a certain point, what are they even doing anymore?
Just, I don't know.
They're just
living, man.
Yeah,
just living. They're just like, oh, zombies, Chris. I did though see the episode where what's his face Glenn got his face
smashed in, yeah.
Oh god, that was ridiculously
pretty brutal.
Graphic. That
yeah.
that was unnecessarily graphic.
Well,
in
know,
my opinion.
I mean,
I didn't need to see an eyeball pop out.
It didn't pop out all the way.
Enough. How much do you need to see an eyeball pop out?
Yeah, gruesomeness
to get off.
Three quarters of
he
the
most,
way.
Yeah, more than a popped out of his head. The Asian factor helped, though.
The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones that was like two of the last shows that I watched before I stopped watching TV altogether. And for Game of Thrones, one of the reasons was gruesomeness. There was a scene that I saw that I was like, whoa.
Which
that was
one? I'm
way
genuinely
too
curious.
When the mountain fight the Vought. Yeah.
Well, that's the most probably gruesome scene in the entire thing. When
well,
smashes
fuck.
His
for
head.
Me, I was like, that's it, dude. I woke up immediately the next morning with that in my brain, and I was like, oh my God. Wow.
See, what I like about Game of Thrones, though, is that it's actually creative enough to really enjoy. With Walking Dead, I don't know. I just feel like it was kind of pandering. And
it's
sort of
had
like
a lot of up and down seasons.
Yeah.
Probably more down than up. And after last one, I'm like, I realized, I go, I don't give a shit anymore about what happens to these characters.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to watch next season. And that's one less hour of my life I have to commit. Probably part of the factor was like, I've got so many things to do. I really have to, I really have to decide what fucking matters.
You're so busy. I'm just surprised you find time to eat food.
That doesn't happen that often either. Usually I just like, oh, dude, it's
cocktail
been,
food.
Cocktail food, man. It's been a wreck.
These olive and martini has calories.
Yeah. Far too many times recently I've come home and maybe a little too drunk and woke up the next morning with like strange food in my fridge.
Yeah, I saw that post.
Yeah.
Didn't you have like a gross, like, taco.
Yeah, and a Jack in the Box taco.
Oh god,
maybe
those are
twice
like,
in a week.
Those are 50 cents a piece. Geez.
No, but they don't sell them. You get they sell those. They those tacos are not sold by themselves. Those tacos are sold in a meal. That means I ate a meal of Jack in the Box, which I don't remember getting.
Oh.
And then at some point I was like, I am satiated with this Jack in the Box meal. And I looked at that taco and I'm like, that'd be a great treat for tomorrow. I'm going to hang on to that. Like, I'm going to need that tomorrow. And that's what drunk Deese thought.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a problem. So,
like when you saved like 3 or 4 pizza rolls, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Like, that's a good idea. I'll need those.
Have you ever seen that movie, The Fly?
Oh, yeah, with Jeff Goldblum.
So I wish there was a machine where we could get into it when we were drunk and we would separate, because I would love to meet my drunk self. I just want sober.
Do you want
me
to tell you about her?
I don't.
I feel like I could give you a pretty accurate description of drunk Jay. It's not flattering. You're gonna be upset. So yeah. What's gonna happen after that is you'll be like, okay, remember that movie Back to the Future? I want to build a time machine so I can go back to before I met drunk Jay and they could separate. So.
First off, Drunk Jay is delightful. She's a great singer. She's an even better dancer. And she always has something clever to
say. Well, she's delightful in ways. And she does dance.
Well.
The quality of which is highly debatable. I mean, she's lovely and entertaining to me, but I'm partial to Jay. So I feel like not as charming to others, perhaps. But, you know, maybe.
Traz, when you get over this whole sobriety thing, I really think that the three of us need to, like, go out and have...
Just get hammered.
Let's have, like, a social hour, like, puke fest. Like,
oh, God.
Or maybe not puke fest. Let's reel it back from that. But, like, a social hour bond fest.
I don't know the last time I've puked from drinking.
Challenge fucking accepted.
It's been a long... It's been years.
Okay.
Years. And I don't even want to say calendar years. Just years.
Okay.
Do you know? I hate when people say calendar years. I'm like, what other type of year is it?
What months are we missing in the calendar?
Yeah. What system? What unit of measurement of time are you using that doesn't include the calendar? You asshole. Like, are you just got a sundial that doesn't count?
I puked in the last Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
My New Year's my birthday.
Oh really?
Yeah. You puked on your birthday.
I mean, I did, but no, that's not what I was saying.
Oh.
That's your New Year's.
My New Year, yeah, is my birthday.
When is your birthday?
July 12th.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah.
Start of a new.
Okay,
start
of a new. Deuce, when's your birthday?
I was not born. I was made from clay by my mother, and Zeus brought me to life.
Okay, that makes sense.
Actually, my birthday is very soon.
When? And what are we doing for it?
I will be doing open mic.
Social hour puke fest.
It's a week from Wednesday. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm just gonna probably just hang out during the day and then do open mic and go home.
No, I refute that.
That's what I do. I don't celebrate my birthday.
Why not?
Because everyone fell out of a vagina at some point in their life.
I walked
100% of people who've been on this planet fell out of a vagina.
Bro, wait, what about
bro,
the
I was a
C-section.
All right, whatever.
Oh, insensitive.
You were in you're in utero and brought you came out. It doesn't. It's not a special.
Route.
It's not a special day. Mm-hmm. There's nothing interesting or special about it. And in fact, actually, most years I need to be reminded it's my birthday.
See, as your friend, I feel obligated now to make it the most special day of your life.
Oh, yes. I just don't. Well, a couple things. First of all, I don't like people doing things for me.
Okay.
And not like I don't appreciate it. I just like I don't. It fucking makes me awkward.
Really?
Like I don't like it. Like I don't because it's unnecessary. Because it just I don't care. Like I don't care. Like let's just hang out. Whatever. I don't care. And when people want to like do a thing for me, it's weird for me.
Do you need love?
Probably.
I think he needs love.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just want to.
I think we should social hour sandwich him. Can this be like a verb now? Like
wow.
That we can just social.
Hey.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like that, Deez. I mean, if it's your birthday, we can make it that way. But it doesn't have to be.
We'll see. I don't know. It's too much whatever. I had a friend of mine 1 year, she called me and she's like, "So, hey, how you doing?" And I'm like, I didn't talk to her. I'm like, "Good, great." She's like, "So what are you doing today?" I'm like, "Nothing. I'm just hanging out." She goes, "You got any big plans for your day?" I'm like, "No. Why? What's going on?" She's like, and she just got quiet for a second. She's like, "Oh my God." She's like, you don't even know, do you?" I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" She's like, "You don't even realize that it's your birthday, do you?" I'm like, "Oh, is it?" I'm like, no, did not know that.
Like, you just honestly forget?
Yeah, I just don't care. I don't think about it. Okay. Yeah, it's not a thing for me. It doesn't matter. It, yeah, it's like, whatever. You know what? There's much more special things to celebrate. And like, I want to have like,
what would you rather celebrate?
Everyone should have like a achievement gold day where let's celebrate when you got something, when you did something you wanted to do in life or accomplish.
Okay.
That's fair. A better thing that to, cause like, again, everyone is born. That literally happens to everyone who's ever been on this planet except Jesus or whatever, or the fuck that story goes. Like everyone's been, well, he was born too, I guess. Everyone was born. That's not special. Find something that you did that makes you unique and worth being on this planet, and let's celebrate that. I want to celebrate that with you.
Yeah, national or personal achievement day. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I want to, let's do that. That sounds way better than a birthday. And fuck these people who are like, "It's my birthday week or my birthday month."
I fucking hate
those people. Yeah. Like, stop with your, I don't even give a shit. Listen, you are an adult. Unless you're a fucking 37 and severely autistic, I don't want to hear about your goddamn birthday anything. Shut the fuck up. Go to work. No one cares you're turning 37. It's a fucking zero. You're not getting cards from your parents. And guess what? Your wife who divorced you isn't sending you a goddamn card either. Okay?
So
get up, go to work at your middle management job, being an assistant shoe manager at the last Kmart on East Sprague, and fucking make sure those shoes match and don't let anyone buy two different sizes. Go home, beat off to some sad porn, and get up the next morning and do it again. Otherwise, shut the fuck up about your goddamn birthday month. I don't want to hear about it. Mm. Yeah.
So happy early birthday.
Thanks. thank you.
If you want to go out for a drink, I'll totally buy you a drink.
All right. Come to the comedy club. Okay. I'll be there doing open mic.
Oh, my God. Sure.
I like your style, man. your birthday should just be like a function of like your whole life and what you're trying to do in that month or in that time.
You know what I used to do when I would remember it was my birthday? I would treat it like like a more special version of Christmas and Thanksgiving for me. So Christmas and Thanksgiving are days where I am forced to do nothing because nothing's open. So like, I can't do anything. I don't see family. I don't do anything. I just like hang out because I have, and there's nothing open. So I can't actually accomplish things. Right.
Sad. I know exactly what you mean.
But like, I can't go like do things. Whereas like any other day of the week, if I'm off, mm-hmm. I can go do things like tasks, menial tasks, you know, I can get stuff done, but there's nothing open, so I'm forced to like relax. So like my 2 days I can count on the calendar, I'm going to do nothing. And my birthday, I used to kind of take that same approach where I would take the day off, I would go like kind of sleep in, I'd get up and I'd go usually take a hike somewhere, then have a nice lunch, and then I'd go out somewhere and I just kind of be by myself. And I do some writing. I usually do some art, just kind of hang out, reflect on my year, write about my life, where I'm at, write some goals I want for the next year, then have a good dinner, drink a bunch of tequila, and go home. And I usually wouldn't see anyone or talk to anyone I knew. And like that was my re-up day where I just like, okay, you know, what are we doing next? What's next?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think people need more of that. More like
to each their own.
That's how I approach it, and that's why the start of my new year is my birthday.
Yeah,
it just makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think not enough people are objective and really looking at their lives, and like it's amazing how much actually creating a list, writing a list of what the things you want, makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It makes it more tangible. You know, I mean, in your head is wanting to travel to Thailand, and also the stories of Narnia. So they become the same thing. They're both fictional at that point until you write them down. So, like, you can't do anything until you, like, really put it down and be like, okay, now I'm gonna, this is a thing I want to do.
Yeah, that sounds like sort of mystical advice, but kind of everybody that really is out there achieving things and doing something sort of says that. You got to write it down. You got to put it on paper.
So if I put it down on paper that I want to go to Thailand and stab a lion, do you think that's more tangible?
Well, I think you'd have to, I think you'd be hard pressed to break into the zoo. Thailand zoos have pretty good security. I don't know. I don't know if lions are indigenous to Thailand.
I'm combining Narnia and Thailand, so you know what? I dream big.
Okay, go for it. Shoot for the stars, Jay. I love that about you. Okay, so let's see. 6 o'clock. Okay, I'm gonna go around the table real quick, and we're gonna catch up with everyone. Because it's been a couple weeks since we've been in studios, and I feel like we've had a lot. The summer's just kind of really, I know, gotten away from me, and I was so busy. So I want to catch up with people and where everyone's at. Jay, we're going to start with you. I do happen to know this. You recently finished a book you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I also want to talk about what you're doing in comedy outside of this fabulous show.
Yeah, okay. Lots of things to catch up on. Yes, I did. So I have been, for the past couple of years, have been working on, I'm doing a series of books. I've just finished the first one. I'm about halfway through the second book. And so now I'm in the process of hiring an editor to go through it, which, the first quote I've gotten is $1,500, which sucks. A lot of editors charge per the word or per the page, typically a penny per word or $3 per page. So I'm looking at about $1,500 for my
cheap
book. No, it's not. But I'm excited to get moving on that process and want to hopefully take it to a publishing agency at some point.
You need to get an agent first.
Yeah. Agency and then publishing. So, yeah, lots of things to do with that. As far as comedy goes, guys, come see me.
Wait, hold on. We're not done with first part.
Sorry.
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book, that, well, the series is, the first book is called Pure. It's
Pure?
Pure.
Pure.
P-U-R-E.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is it your memoirs?
Yeah.
That's a laugh.
Until she was 17.
18, sir. 18, sir, thank you.
So, Pure is the name of the series.
Pure is the name of the series, and is the name of the first book.
And that's the name of the first book. What's the name of the second book?
Tainted. Shut up, guys.
Art is life.
It's not about that.
And then
fuck you,
he
guys.
Press my naked, trembling body against the wooden dock by the lake.
I hate how much you know about my sex life.
Me too. What's the third book called? Repure? Unfuckable.
I hate you guys.
The Lot Lizard Sagas.
So the first two, I have the names down for sure. Second, or the third and fourth have been a toss-up. But in the running for the third book is either, don't you fucking laugh.
I wouldn't.
Either, I can't say it, because I know how you're going to take it.
What?
Ruined. Shut up!
Oh my god, Jay, that's the word for the jokes we were making.
Ruined.
Okay, so not that one, apparently.
Oh my god. And the fourth one's called Dead Alone. Dying Alone.
The fourth one is Cleansed.
Cleansed. What is
looking
this
for salvation,
story?
Huh? Looking for salvation in Jesus?
Right.
No, it's not at all religious. I'm the biggest atheist you will
Give
ever
Give me the
meet.
Elevator pitch on this book series.
Okay, hold on. Let me recover from Trav's wild cackling. You dick. Okay.
Give me.
I'm not doing it to the soundtrack. No.
Give me the say.
Turn it off, and I will. What? Oh fuck! What are you bringing up next? Okay. So, it is a young adult dystopian series. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the niche.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
pretty one of a kind. You have a pretty unique start already.
I know.
Yeah.
Basically, the premise of,
let me guess, the protagonist is a young female.
Wow!
What?
wow!
What?
You solved it.
But she's brave and strong-hearted, and probably goes against the society's wills.
Oh my God! What? Who wrote this book? Did I write it or did Deez?
Oh man.
Do you have anything else to add? I mean, like, so far you're writing it.
There's a young man.
Ooh.
At first they don't like each other.
Oh.
But then. Through the struggles and toils of a mutual antagonist.
No.
I bet there's another dude.
Oh, Traz is right.
Boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
So she's kind of torn.
She's torn.
I mean, she's busy.
Because
like,
she's been ruined. Is that what ruined is about?
Fuck off,
when
I hate
she was
you guys.
Torn.
I hate you guys so much. No.
So Jay, what's it about?
Okay, so I started writing this book after having an argument with an ex-boyfriend. We were talking about how the world's fucked. We're like, all right, man. Starts like that. We've got exponential population growth. Pollution is going on. How can I have a conversation with you? Stop this. I'm going to tape your hands together. Stop it.
That I'm just
okay. Stop it.
Okay, so what
So basically we're looking at the trajectory of the world, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so it deals with how in, I theorize, mm-hmm. 2094 Earth has a population. This is almost right. You're almost there. Okay. Ooh, yeah, I can get with this. Okay. 2094. You're right. I need to do that. 2094. Earth has a population of 13 billion people.
Dun, dun, dun.
The poles have melted. North Korea has nuked a lot of the Earth.
Guam.
The air is toxic and hard to breathe, and people are dying left and right of stuff.
Kind of like Bangkok now.
Sort of, yeah. Famine is widespread and resources are low. Because of this, the globe descends into chaos, and people start to form groups with those who they deem most similar, kind of like in prison. I started actually writing this while I was in a prison class. I was watching how in prison people join into groups, like racial groups, and they do that. So, in the book, nations devolve into anarchist states. People join into these kind of warring gangs, and it becomes this giant ethnic genocide. Through the process of famine, disease, and pollution, human population is driven back down to only 10 million people, from 13 billion to 10 million.
That sounds great.
Well, I mean, sure.
More manageable, for sure.
Maybe more manageable, but still. Anyways, in the grand scheme of things, towards the brink of extinction. So, these racial factions, they decide, hey, we've devastated our world. Now there are plenty of resources for all because mankind is on the brink of extinction. Why don't, since racism has devastated our world, we completely eradicate diversity? Let's form one race. So through the process of cross, interracial breeding, they eradicate race.
Do you have any, like, corn music?
Shut up. Oh my God, I hate you guys. It's 1,500 years after that. So it's this utopian society absent of race, poverty, social classes, and, yeah, disease, really.
Purity.
So, yeah, it's just this perfect world, So it's this perfect world.
Torn.
I
ruined.
Jeez, you're too decimated. Far away from me to fucking kick it. This is not porn. You guys, you take everything good and you ruin it. So,
like the third title from Jay's Pure series, ruined. The what's the fourth one? Back in the habit or something? What was
no,
it called?
No, back in the. What is this? One of the Back to the Future movies? Jesus Christ!
Off the wagon too.
Oh. So, anyways. I don't even know where we were at. You guys were so distracting.
Everybody started humping, became one people.
Yes.
Everything was cool.
Everything is super cool.
Jay's character wanted two dudes.
No.
Two dudes.
So, 1,500 years in the future, we're in a utopian society. No race, no poverty, no disease.
No races. No.
Yes, anyways. Anyways, but, to remember where they came from, they have these things that are called historical galleries where they keep living human beings.
Some people call them museums.
They're like museums, but they keep people of the original races there on display. So they're kind of like zoos in a way.
Oh, so there's like they're like live versions.
They're like human beings, yeah. That they think of as subhuman because they're this new race, this thought to be kind of the highest evolution of human beings. So they keep Caucasians, Africans, Asians.
Well, Caucasians?
Hispanics.
Hold on, this sounds pretty racist.
All of them. And Jay. they keep
But
them,
I mean they pay them more to be there, right?
No, they're slaves. They live, breed,
but,
and
hold
die
on, you said
captivity.
Caucasians. You must have misspoke.
That's the whole point of the book. It's taking a reverse look at
how nice,
you know,
is the treatment of these zoos? Because there's some pretty swanky zoos out there.
Yeah. Does someone like shoot? Is there like a Harambe in there where like some guy drops newfangled babies in there, the multi-race babies, and like has to get shot by a phaser?
Nope. They all live alone. They are kept
like
naked,
Kendrick,
and they have all the things brought to them are consistent with what their ancestors would have.
Interesting.
So the main character.
Does the main character, does she choose two dudes from, like maybe one from like the slave class and one from like the pure class? Is that it?
Jay's making a face. Anyway, so yeah, the main character, she's.
Travis, I feel like we just wrote this book series. We should get co-author credits at least.
Fuck
at this
guys.
Point.
Right, and I don't want to be a dick, but I'm definitely not buying it now.
Shut up, there's a lot more. You would like it.
Okay.
So, anyways, yeah, just finished the first book of that series.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Can I read it?
Sure.
How many pages is it?
The first is 360
pages. 360 pages of tainted, ruined. Multi-person
pure, baby.
Zoo sex.
First one's pure.
First one's pure.
Oh man! All right. Well, good for you. That's an accomplishment. What are you gonna? You know what you should do?
Mm.
It's a real suggestion.
Oh, let's hear it.
Talk to people who are majoring in some sort of writing type program at local universities,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they would be able to assist in editing for
well right now I'm actually meeting, you know, Devin Devine, of course.
Who?
Yeah,
Devin Devine, Tony Tony Russell, Devin
Sorry,
Devine.
You have to be more specific.
What other Devin Devine? Devin's gonna edit it for me. Another friend I have, he's a published author, Alex Morley, who's going to be editing as well. And then I will, before I go to an agency, of course, meet with a legitimate editor.
All right.
So
nice.
Yeah, then that, back to as far as what I'm doing with comedy these days. So this is really exciting, and you guys should come check it out at the Blue Door Theater. All of October, we are doing a format called No Clue. It is long-form improv, kind of styled like a Clue mystery. So these are like hour 15 long shows. Kind of think like the 1980s film Clue. So it's a whole bunch of strangers. They're trapped in a bed and breakfast. A storm has washed out the roads and the phone lines, and three murders take place over the course of the whole theatrical event.
Wait, is this one of your books again? Are we talking about
your
books?
No. This is Blue Door Theater. Blue Door Theater.
Okay, I didn't know.
And yeah, so it's really fun. The audience gets to decide who the killer is.
Ruined the synopsis to ruin.
And now it's a murder mystery.
Okay, and how often are you there?
I'm going to be there every Friday during October. Okay. I am all about No Clue. It's going to let me utilize my giant collection of wigs. Everyone said I would never use all my wigs. How wrong they were.
All right. Yeah, because I never hear you talking about Blue Door, what you're doing. So,
yeah.
All right, glad you're still doing stuff.
Yeah, I love it. It's super fun.
Cool. All right. Traz? Oh, wait. Love life? What's up with the love life?
Oh,
That's a valid question.
Oh, that is a valid question. I got engaged.
Do you have that cricket noise? Wait, did you really get engaged?
Yeah.
To who?
I realize that is a strange question because the last time we talked, I was single as shit. Okay.
So that's why we didn't really respond. I was like, is this part of a bit?
No.
Or?
No, that's real.
Do they know?
They didn't expect it.
Is this like a purity ring situation where you got engaged to Jesus?
No. Okay. So.
I think I know this story, but I'm going to let you tell it anyway.
All right. So for listeners who don't really know me that well. For a long time, I was in an open relationship with my ex-partner, Cody, lovely individual. But he wasn't super fond of me sleeping with other people. So
weird.
So I was like, you know what, man? We just
what a dick.
I'm not ready to settle down. Let's just take some time. Let's take a beat. You do
Let's
you.
Let's fuck other people.
You do
without
you.
Fucking each other.
I'll do other people. We'll just meet back eventually. And so I think I just kind of realized through the precarious love life of Jay that there's nobody else I really want to be with. And so I invited him to this event. It was called Zombie Prom. I think we talked about it. And yeah, I had it worked out. I bought rings. I had this wonderful speech.
You engaged him.
I proposed to him. Yeah.
Whoa.
And I had it all worked out with the DJ. I was like, hey, man, after the band, I'm going to propose. This is going to be awesome. And he's like, cool. So after the band leaves, DJ gives me the mic, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this speech. We're going to rock it. And it was going to be awesome. But as soon as I start, I realize that the DJ had not told the woman who was in charge of the venue. So I have barely gotten into my speech. Like, I haven't even begun to propose. And this woman, she comes up, and she grabs the base of the microphone, and she's like, you can't do this. And I kind of pulled the mic down away from my face. I was like, hey, it's cool. I worked this out with the DJ. I'm going to propose to somebody. At which point, a normal human being would be like, oh, cool.
Oh, my God. That's so wonderful. Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
But this bitch is like, you can't do this. And I had a couple drinks. And don't fuck with me when I've had a couple of drinks.
Yeah, who's this fucking cunt?
So she's not letting go of the mic, and I'm not letting go of the mic. And so we start to fight over the mic in front of the whole crowd. So we're fighting over the microphone, and so she waves over security. And I'm actually physically removed from the building by security. I didn't fight them, but I resisted.
so you were removed from the building.
Thrown out of the building by security.
Before you were even able to.
Before I'm able to propose. So I'm outside and I'm crying because I've been thrown out of the building by security. And so Cody runs out. He's like, Jay, why didn't you just give them the microphone and why did you fight the security guards? They were a bit way bigger than you. And I'm fucking crying. I was like, because I was going to propose to you. That is exactly how I felt. And he was shocked, but he was really happy. And
this was his response.
For a second. But anyway, so
so, and then Jay got engaged to a different guy that would actually say yes to her. And now,
And so then I gave him the speech one-on-one underneath a gazebo back at my place, and it was actually very romantic and intimate.
And he said yes?
He did say yes.
Nice.
So when's the day?
Oh, I have no idea. I actually don't, like, intend to get married for a really long time. But
you just want to lock that lock that dick down.
Well, no, I'm still doing the celibate year. Like, even with him, I'm doing the celibate year.
Oh,
so.
Fuck that.
Wait, I think
does
I told
he
you
have to do the
no,
celibate
time
year?
Time out.
We talked about the celibate year, didn't we?
Yeah. How long has it been?
2 months.
See, I think we're coming close to the time frame I gave you.
Dude, I'm going to make it.
No fucking way. You're not making it a year, you fucking
fuck
liar.
Fuck you, I'm going to make it a year.
No goddamn way.
I can do
especially
it.
Especially if you're engaged.
No, that's he like supports
does
me.
Does butt
it.
Stuff count?
Yes.
Can you still do mouth stuff?
No VP business. Basically, I can bang me, and I'm the only one who can.
Do you still like
can
give him hand jobs?
Watch?
No.
Do you do anything for him?
No.
Why would I would say no? I'd say call me in a year.
No, because he is just happy that I'm making an effort to try to be less of an addict, if you will.
Less bangy of other people. I don't know. Like, how, what?
I think
listen,
he's just happy.
You know
that
what?
I wanted...
I'm really glad you finally decided to stop banging other people and not bang me for a year. Thanks. I appreciate you making it so I can't bang anyone for the next fucking year either. That sounds great. Why don't we just fuck? God damn it!
That's probably his inner dialogue.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that. So engaged 2 months into the celibate year that I'm totally going to make.
That's a fucking nightmare. I would have said no. I would have said fuck no.
Yeah, straight up. James,
I would have been guessing. Wait, you're not
guess.
Fucking anyone for a year? Good. What day are you done? What'd you say? July. Cool. I'll put it in my Google Calendar, and I will call you that day, and I will make you choke on every inch of my cock.
Oh, my God.
And
if my dick's not already chafed from
listen,
fucking all those
listen,
other girls.
You will gag like you are drowning in the depths of the sea.
Really?
It will be passionate and aggressive.
See, I feel you're, like the passion.
You will
passion
be ruined.
Depth. Yeah, you will be ruined.
You
will, there will be moments where you don't know if you're going to make it and live through the experience, and that will be a turn on for you.
I just saw that in Jay's face when you said that. She's like, oh, man.
That was not a good face.
Cody,
no.
You got to ruin this chick.
No. See, dude, I wouldn't even be like, if he wanted to sleep with other people, go. Like, I wouldn't mind.
Are you
listening to this
can
podcast?
Can we call him?
Yeah.
If, no. If you want to, you can. But
I do want to.
Like, on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What are you going to say?
I think we should call him and find out.
Okay.
Improv, yeah.
Remember, who was here? God, neither of you guys were here. The last time we called...
Deese, be nice, though. Don't,
I'll be nice.
Don't make my fiancé break up with
me. I won't make him break up with
okay.
you.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
My phone? My phone or your phone?
Yeah, let's go your phone.
Okay.
You can plug him into that, and it'll come through the lines. Put him on speakerphone.
This is really going down.
Okay.
Wait,
isn't
no,
that working?
Put it on speaker. It'll go.
Not on speaker? There we go. We'll see if it works. He usually answers pretty quickly, so I don't know if we're going to get
man.
It.
Oh, man.
I bet.
She probably texts him, like, do I answer your phone?
Don't answer.
Your call has
can
been forwarded to an automated voice messaging
can I leave
system.
A message?
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, fuck. I'll just call again. Sorry. I already hung up.
The last time we called someone on air, we called Roxy's then-fiancé on air.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated
voice
messaging
system. They ended up breaking up soon after that.
5-0-9-9-9-3-5-8-9-8 is not available.
Do you just leave it through there?
Yeah.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time.
God damn
goodbye.
It.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye.
We tried.
I feel like we should call somebody from your guys' phone. Now I'm kind of on this kick.
Oh, now here, give me the cord back.
Okay.
I don't have anyone to call. just call Trask.
no matter what number, whatever the name is under Indisa's phone, it just dials my number.
Yeah, just only one number in there. All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That sounds, depressing for him not to be able to.
He just texted. He said, "Oh shit, that's right. He's getting his tattoo right now."
Oh, of what is it? Is this a lottery prize on his dick?
No.
Or does it say lottery winner? He got a tattoo on his groin. This is lottery winner.
It says, what was the date? July 17th, you
said. Okay, that's right. He's getting his tattoo right now.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, but anyways, so yeah, that's my life right now.
All
right,
Traz?
Do you have any specific questions?
have you written any books or stopped fucking people?
Neither.
So, yeah, I guess here's where I'm at. I'm going to go on a little adventure here shortly. I'm going to explore the Southwest, do a bunch of rock hounding, create art, practice painting. I'd like to start a podcast coming up as I'm traveling around that sort of interviews artists and people who are making a living doing their passion, sort of like Deese.
Yeah.
Get him on the show. I think I'm going to be dipping down to Stockton, California.
Nice.
Here in the next couple weeks, which nobody really knows. I kind of just came to that conclusion.
Are you, like, leaving? Like, leaving Spokane, or?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
What? What
yeah,
the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry to spring that on you.
Oh, my God. When? Oh, I didn't know that. We're losing you?
Yeah, well, you knew that for a while, right?
No.
What?
I didn't know
You're not
that.
Losing me forever. No, I'm going to come back, but okay. I'm going to come back when the weather's warm.
Okay, are you, Deez? Are we getting a new producer?
We're canceling the show.
What the fuck is happening?
Oh, did I tell you that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. This is a real...
Wait, really?
Real surprise. We didn't talk about this?
No!
Oh, man.
I'm getting fired on air for reals?
Oh, Jay.
You got that engagement to fall
back
on.
You can. You'll have more time to not fuck him.
Okay.
No,
well.
I'm just kidding. The show's going on. The show's continuing.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna need to step your game up though, since Traz is leaving. So.
Jesus.
You gotta start taking notes.
No. We're gonna
notes and news. What?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna work on the producer thing. We're gonna figure that out.
Aw, Traz, we're gonna miss you though.
I'm gonna miss you guys. Yeah. But you guys have been hugely inspirational. And I'd like, you know, I'd still like to maybe be a part of the podcast network and still work with you guys and all the different facets of your art.
So you're just gonna go on like this crazy road trip? Is that the plan, or?
Not so much of a road trip, but yeah, just kind of like. Starting up in Northern California, like San Francisco, Stockton area, just because that's like how the universe like chanced itself and worked out. And then so moving down the state, like through Nevada and middle central California, like hopefully get down to like LA area, be inspired, meet a lot of interesting artists, and business people and musicians. And it's just,
that's really cool.
Yeah. For me, art is life, and like life is art, and
absolutely.
Like I don't necessarily do stand up like you guys, or like, you know, have written a book or am a musician, but I just really believe in that idea of like your life is art. This like Shakespeare said, the world is a stage, you know.
When are you leaving?
Well, yeah, I thought I think I might be leaving like October 10th.
Jesus, that's so soon.
Yeah, like this episode might even come out
probably after you leave. Yeah.
But I do want to catch that October 15th Comedy Confession show at the Riddler, though. That sounds really good. So
When is your last day at Riddler's?
I haven't even talked to Emily Riddler yet. She's going to be like really pissed and just devastated, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Should we tag her in this episode so she can find out?
That could be the person I call.
Do you want to call Emily on air and announce her on air?
Oh, my God.
I could call her.
Fuck yeah, we can do that.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Is that good comedy? Come on now. I don't want to put her on the spot. She's a sweet girl. Okay. She's like a nice Christian girl. Come on.
Deason and I could just be quiet in the background.
Right.
Snickering like.
Just have nothing to say, I'm sure.
We'll just call her from my phone, but we'll leave the. All right.
So, I kind of just was rolling through all those ideas today. Mike Clark, a guy who works at the piano bar with me, is kind of instrumental. He came over this morning just randomly. Really worked through some stuff with him, and I think he's gonna be living in my house, taking care of my dog and stuff like that too. So,
okay. Well, before you leave, the three of us need to have a podcast puke out.
Can I not puke?
No, we will jam our fingers down your throat. You will puke.
Jeez, I have not
just shotgun like two or three beers and then take a shot of like 151.
Oh, I'd be fine. You guys don't understand how much I can drink. I think.
Let us learn.
I can drink a lot, guys. Like a lot. A lot.
All right.
Listen, I have a crippling alcohol addiction for sure. It is the only reason I function in life.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Travis, that's really exciting, and I'm as sad as I am to lose you. I'm excited for your adventure.
Yeah, and I'm coming back.
Okay.
You know, straight up, like I have my kids here and my family here. I'm gonna be able to get my job back at the piano bar when I come back.
Cool.
I can't handle the winter, man. I'm a baby there.
Did I get it? It sucks.
Yeah, it's freezing. It's so. Like, people say like, why do I live somewhere where it like hurts to breathe? I'm like, well, literally.
All right, well, Traz will be gone. We'll we're going to talk more about that and figure out what the permanent, whether that's going to be permanent or temporary and how that's going to work out. We're going to, we'll figure out the details for you. So
yeah, I would say just find like a random homeless person. That might be a pretty good fit.
We won't even notice the difference.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So yeah, we're going to, yeah.
Deez, what about you? What's new?
I just doing comedy, man. This comedy thing has exploded for me, and I've really, in ways I couldn't imagine. I found out, you know, I did Valley Fest the other day, and they've asked me to take that over. So starting next year, I'll be running the Valley Fest comedy thing. So another thing on my plate. I'm working with a winery downtown that wants to do a monthly comedy showcase.
What winery?
I'm going to tell you it's a secret, but I'm only telling you that because I don't know the name of it. The owners have just been contacting me, and I don't remember it. It's over by the Cracker Barrel building. I know that. And they started doing an open mic on Friday evenings, early Friday, which seemed odd to me. I'm like, yeah, nobody loves comedy like wineries at 5:30 in the evening, but sure. But they want to do a monthly comedy show. They want me to run that. One Tree Hard Cider just opened a location downtown.
I
was there the other day. Grant was showing me his downstairs. We're gonna do some comedy there. I think we're gonna start doing I'm just gonna do an open mic on Tuesdays there. We need a Tuesday mic. I probably won't host it regularly. My goal is to just get it going and farm out the hosting to so other people have a chance to kind of host the show. But just get it going. And then, Drink and Debate in 2018. Our contract was extended through 2018 at the Spokane Comedy Club. So you'll be able to find us every month in 2018. We're going to be moving to the second Sunday of every month. Once a month, the Comedy Confessions. Right now it's at the Riddler Piano Bar, kind of around the middle of the month, and then every other Sunday at the Riddler Piano Bar is the Social Hour Comedy Showcase. Although we're hoping that Comedy Confessions is going to get moved to the Comedy Club in a couple months around the start of the year. That's the goal. Cool. As a Sunday show. Mixtape Volume 2 coming up November 21st. Tony Russell and I will be producing that. It's going to be a great show. We've got a lot of good comics on that. Again, I'm traveling. I'll be in Richland. I'm doing Dan Cummins here in Spokane. Some stuff in Missoula. I'm working on some stuff on the west side. Possibly a Southern Swing. Might be headed down to Atlanta to do some comedy. It's fucking...
Atlanta? That's pretty
cool. It's kind of going nutty for me. So I'm just trying to take advantage of it. Make hay while the sun shines and, do what I can before I die. So...
Any... love life or
celibate
life?
No, I can't. I got nothing. It's nothing. I can't. Okay. I really can't. I've decided I don't have the energy to put energy into anyone or anything. Like, I don't have the time. And when I have the time, I want to spend that time with my friends or relaxing and not feel this pressure to be like, I need to go on a date. I need to make sure. And I think, especially after my last girlfriend, I don't think I have it in me anymore to care enough.
Was she, pretty high maintenance, or?
No, it was one of the few times I actually gave a shit. And I think I finally am just I don't have the time to, commit or really care.
Get that.
I mean, there's a lot of great girls out there and a lot of people I like a lot, but I just don't, there's no fire anywhere, you know? So my fire is in my work right now. And that's not going to change. I'm not going to sacrifice that. So
it almost feels like it wouldn't be fair to be in a relationship.
No, it totally would not be. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason. And I feel bad because I meet girls that are great girls and, beautiful, nice, have a lot of things going for them. And, we've gone on a couple dates maybe and good stuff. But I'm just I'm never I'm not going to be the person you probably want me to be in the next.
I feel like your ideal
months.
Chick would be somebody who's got as much going on as you do. And she doesn't want somebody who's needy either.
Yes and no. That sounds good, but it never stays that way.
Yeah?
No, never stays that way with anyone. And also, everyone has, my schedule's so erratic that, literally the only night I don't have something going on, especially once this Tuesday thing launches, is Fridays. And Fridays has always been my Sabbath for a decade or more, where Fridays I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to even hang out with people. I just want to go home, relax, get ready for the weekend, make a good dinner, hang out with my dog. Every other night, I mean, it's like Saturday, I'm usually at the Comedy Club. Sunday, the Riddler or the Comedy Club. Monday, podcast. Tuesday is going to be the open mic. Wednesday, open mic. Thursday, I usually work late and then go to the open mic at District. Friday, and then also now I'm picking up a bunch of Thursday, Friday, Saturday weekend shows where I'm performing. So I'm just like, when is the time to...
That's fair.
To do that. So, you know.
Yeah.
Just, it's not on the table.
So are you my celibate bro?
Yeah. 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 Me and...
Are we fucking doing this?
Me and Cody will...
Let's Cody the three of us be together. Celibate. Woo. Yeah. Woo. Trez, are you going to join us?
No, I still fuck whores. Got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on my time. My time, my dime. All right. But Jay got some news. We're going to do a little news, and then I got a boogie. So we're going to do 10 minutes of news, okay?
Sweet. Then we'll
it's time for the consensual news with Jay. She's going to tell you what's going on in the world today. Propaganda time, so let's fist pump. Celebrity in sports and Donald Trump. Jay wants old people gone. And this is the end to her new song.
Woo! All right. All right, Jay.
Okay, so my first news story and favorite news story in a while. So in Russia, police appear to have discovered one of the country's most grisly cases of cannibalism.
Oh, boy.
After pictures of dismembered bodies were found on a phone belonging to one of the main suspects. So, basically, this guy took a selfie with a severed hand.
Okay.
Not a good start. You know, maybe don't take selfies with people that you've murdered.
I mean, who's to say who murdered the person? You know?
That, so which is murky. Which is what he actually claimed. So yeah. Later, these dismembered body parts were found in a bag. And he claimed, he was like, no, I only found the bag and then took selfies with him, which is already suspicious. But so then the
which
police...
Which is also probably a crime.
Yeah. But so then the
even
police
in Russia.
Raided his home, and he had a female partner as well. And they found, like, canned body parts. Like, he's pickling things, which I guess respect, you know, you're trying to make it last. There were, like, canned hands and canned, like pickled body parts. And so they suspect that he and his partner have eaten up to 30 people.
You know, someone needs to remind the Russian people that they're white.
What
the fuck is up with, like, they're like the craziest white people out there is Russians.
Are you saying that white people can't be crazy?
No, I just, someone needs to remind them, like, to have a little bit of decorum, though. Be like, listen, when they go to the white meeting every year, all the whites from around the world meet up. They should be like, listen, okay, everyone's doing pretty fine. Listen, we've got our fringe here. Yeah, these people kind of want to kill black people sometimes. That's normal for white people. Okay. There's a certain percentage that's going to happen, but Russians. What the fuck, man? Come on, get it together. What the hell is happening over there? They're just like, they're the nuttiest of all the white people.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I almost got murdered by some Russians back in college. We were having this party, just a stupid dorm party, and these Russians come in and they have literally a gallon of vodka. I don't know where they got it.
Like,
I don't
like
I
not
don't,
even in like a regulated bottle.
No, it was just a fucking gallon. So they come in with their gallon of vodka, and my friend at the time, he had this bowl of mangoes because he was going on a health cleanse. And so one of the Russians, he takes the mangoes and he's about to eat the mango. And then, to be fair, my friend Scott shouldn't have. Also, the Russians were MMA fighters. If there's an MMA fighter who's trying to eat your mango, let them eat the mango.
That's
but he goes
like
up to them
for something,
and he's like, "Hey, that's my mango. Put down my mango."
Sup, brah?
And the Russian, he looks at him. He's like, "This is my fucking mango now." And that's when shit hit the fan, because then my friend tried to take the mango from him. At this point, the Russians tell all of the partygoers, "We're gonna send you to God." And it was horrifying. We had to call the police. They somehow we were able to get them out of the apartment, but then they tried to kick down the door.
Has anyone ever fought over a mango that wasn't gay? Like, is that the first time anyone who hasn't sucked cock not fought over a mango? It's like the first time any heterosexual has been like, That's my
that's
fucking
my
mango.
Fucking mango.
Like, it is the gayest
put
fruit.
Put down my mango, bro.
Listen, if you want to fight over like a Roma tomato,
really,
that's a masculine fruit.
It's a though.
It is. It's tart.
I feel like your artisan tomatoes are not.
It goes on hamburgers.
Sure.
Okay, like a what is it? What's the big old potatoes?
I think the most masculine fruit or vegetable would probably be like the prickly pear, because like God, like you just have to be tough to even grab it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
In my opinion,
I mean, mango just the word alone sounds
it's
gay.
Pretty gay.
Yeah.
But okay, so back to the cannibals. You guys, can you not kind of empathize with that?
Yeah, that'd be suck to get caught.
No, I'm.
It's a lot of jail time.
I just like I've always kind of been curious what people taste like.
Well, you're taking a year off from that.
shut up.
So
they don't like it when I bite.
You know, some people are into it, Jay. A year. You know what? What people taste like? Here's one. Okay. What people taste like? I imagine I put in the same category as like skydiving. Or like I don't know, what like just weird things like it's one of those things where I think I know what it's gonna be like.
Do you?
I think
what,
I do.
Okay, what do you
like?
Think?
I
what
imagine
do you think
I
like?
I know I have a feeling like I would go skydiving and then I would do it. I'd be like, yeah, it's exactly what I imagined it was gonna be like.
Just pure terror.
Or yeah, probably. Eating a person is probably going to be, you know, like when I go to the Golden Corral. I probably a little drunk. I think it'll be a good idea. You know, I'm going to go in there with high expectations. And then at the end of the night, I'm shitting my brains out. It's just terrible. No, it's just going to be, it's not going to be that, you're going to be like, okay, I ate, it tasted kind of meaty and probably like not something I should have eaten. A little gamey.
Well, I guess it depends on who you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be a lot like what you think it's going to be.
So
like.
Is that a hard no for you on cannibalism?
No, I'd totally do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Trez.
Like kind of D said, I feel like it wouldn't really be worth it, and I'd rather just go through life and be like, I never really ate anybody. But yeah.
Do like, I have to catch them, or are they like, no, are they presented to me at some
like,
weird eyes
like
wide
a,
shut
like
party
a,
in
no,
my Carnival
like a consequence free? Like, okay, so there's this.
How'd they die?
Oh, no consequence.
No,
oh,
like
yeah.
Okay, so there's a
then
a
I would kill them, then fuck
who
them,
died
then eat them.
In a car accident
kind
and on
like
on
a
his
biker crank or like a mountain biker,
like a mountain biker, and then on his license it didn't say orgasm.
Male or female? I'd be more inclined to
hermaphrodite.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined. I think I could eat a female, like I'd feel better about
why,
it.
Why? Because you already have before?
No, just because I think, you know, it'd be sexual in a way.
Ew, that's so much creepier. I just like want to platonically eat another person. That's different. That's not weird.
You know, well, I'm a sexual creature.
Cannibalism is so much worse if you have a boner.
Well,
is it? Have you ever eaten a steak with a boner?
I wish, but I can't.
Exactly.
Okay.
You do wish.
Yeah.
No, but if this guy on his license plate, instead of organ donor, it was like, just eat me. Like,
just eat me. Like,
at that point, you're like, man, okay, this is your last wish.
Maybe
sure.
It was just like a clever thing he put on there, not literal. Like, he didn't actually mean to eat him. He was just a big fan of The Simpsons. I actually did a pilot podcast the other week, and yep. we did a challenge where the one of the guys got 9 exotic types of beef jerky.
Ooh, what?
So, like, literally there was reindeer, caribou, wild boar, pheasant, alligator. like, one was vegan. There was salmon. And, like, all these crazy...
Oh, that's so cool.
Crazy, just crazy jerkies. Mm-hmm. And we ate them and had to guess which one was which, right? Mm-hmm. Which is fine. Some of them were good. Some were terrible. The worst part was on when I was leaving, I was driving downtown to the comedy club, and I ripped a fart in my car.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I want to do like a shoulder, like at 30 miles an hour, do like a shoulder roll out the window and just let the car careen off a bridge.
It was that bad?
Like, there's no resale value left in this car. Like, this car is just forever tainted. This is going to, I could just light it on fire and walk away.
Was
this
it just car, all the species like blending together?
Yeah. I had 9 dead animals inside of me, Jay. Wow. 9 at once.
That does sound
pretty. Did you want 10? Oh.
Most dangerous game of them all. Humans. All right. Yeah, that'd be weird.
What was the best?
The alligator. The gator was the best.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. By far.
You have a little swamp person in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. A little swamp something in me.
Swamp.
All right. What's next story, Jay?
So Anthony Weiner, you guys know who that is probably. Mm-hmm. So he was a former congressman who got into a lot of murky waters for sexting with a whole bunch of people, but most notoriously a 15-year-old girl. He was just sentenced to 21 months in prison. So yeah, I mean, I feel like he kind of, if you're going to be in any kind of political or really any famous position, sex with minors, you're gonna get caught. You're gonna get fucking caught.
Yeah, maybe just don't sex with minors.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, but
we don't need the caveat.
All right, no, but I'm saying particular. No, you're right. You're right.
But I mean,
don't
yeah.
sex with minors. But especially, if you're in a political position, especially. Know that you're gonna get caught.
Well, we're in the era where like there's no way you can do anything without getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I assume everything is being monitored all the time. Like, I just live my life like TMZ is watching me all the time. And like Harvey Levin's gonna put anything.
Fake it till you make it, bro. Right?
This is what I used to tell one of my ex-girlfriends this. I told her, I'm like, I live my life like there is a 24-hour, like I have a GoPro cam strapped to my chest with a 24-hour feed to you at all times.
Your house would be the worst edition of Cribs.
but what I mean is, like, I live my life like assuming you could hear or see anything I do all the time. Yeah. And I'm okay with all my actions and words because I know that it could get back to me anyone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Like with between cameras and, you know, in a, like you buy a cantaloupe and it has a cell phone or a camera on it now. You know, like the fucking Twitter and screenshots and messaging and this and that and getting catfished, like all sorts. So you never know what is real anymore. So I just, yeah, definitely don't do that.
But
like dudes, like, I'm not bringing this up because it's ever happened to me. I don't send dick pics, but like dudes that get blasted on Facebook for sending dick pics, it's like, holy shit.
Well,
who even knew that was a possibility?
Dick pics are a weird thing because I a girl I know, just a friend of mine, she was complaining to me the other day about she got some dick pics.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why do you guys think your dick is so pretty? I'm like, not us guys, that guy and some other guys. The dick is not an attractive thing. I go,
no.
Men are built like a Swiss Army knife. We're purely function only. We are not built for aesthetic. We are a tool built for certain things. Like, we are not built to be pretty. We're just ergonomically correct to do a job. We're like a random orbital sander. We've got one job. It's what we do. We're good at it. That's
no one
it.
Has ever enjoyed a dick pic, been like, I'm going to get off to that. Like, no.
No.
It's not good.
It's not appealing. And even more vexing to me is the unsolicited dick pic.
Right? Like, hey, how you doing? Dick.
Dick.
Like,
yeah.
What?
I've actually had girls ask me to send them a dick pic.
Really?
Yes. And it's kind of weird to me because I'm like, why? That's not hot at all. Like, it's not like this is generally speaking, but men and women are driven by different things and what turns them on. And like, men are just more visually oriented. And like, you know, if we've seen one girl naked, we want to see the rest of them. That's just kind of how it works. Like, you know, but like a dick, no one's like, God, I got to see that guy's cock and balls.
Okay, I will really run with a theory. Had you had sex with these women before?
Some of them.
Okay. If you've already had sex with them, I don't understand it. But I can appreciate if a woman who has not had sex with a man before wants to just be through all the bullshit and just be like, show me a picture of your dick and let me see if this is worth my time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if...
Well,
yeah,
let me clear
maybe
the air right now. I will just tell you all right now. It's worth your time, ladies. listen, I've said it before and I will say it again. I am a lazy lover. Lazy lover. But no one receives oral as well as I do. So, you heard it here, folks.
You're such a giver.
I am the best at receiving oral.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That is a true talent. I hope you put that on your resume.
Yeah, I do. That's why I lead on my Tinder profile.
So, my favorite part of the whole Anthony Weiner case, though, is that during his not first, but second sexting scandal, God, if you get caught once, learn your fucking lesson.
Yeah.
The third time he got caught was with a 15-year-old, and he was also sexting 19 other women at the time. Right?
What was the average age?
They weren't all minors, which is what the lawyer actually tried to use in defense of him. He's like, oh, he
didn't. Your Honor, a good handful of these women were almost legal age in the states they lived in.
But my favorite part of it is that the nickname he went by was Carlos Danger.
Your Honor, he lives in the tri-state area. He travels many states throughout the day. It is impossible. Nay, I challenge anyone to know which state they're in and the legal age of consent in that state at that time. I rest my case.
It's too difficult. So Carlos Danger, I think that's a really great nickname. So to everyone, if you had to have your online sexting name with people of age, of course, what would your online sexting name be?
Marty McFly Dick.
Ooh, yeah.
Gentle lover.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I would say... slow hands and an easy touch, because I like the Pointer Sisters.
Slow dick Luke.
I need a man with a slow hand. I need a man with an easy touch. No. Just me. Okay. All right. All right. I think we're gonna have to call it for the night, guys.
Sounds good.
Good.
Wait.
What? Yes.
Deece, I like you, and Jay, I like you too.
I like you, Traz. I'm going to miss you. I hope this isn't our last show together.
I don't think it will be.
Good.
I think it will be. I have something to talk to you about after the show, Jay. Maybe I'll call Jay on air and fire on air.
You fire me every week.
It would be the same without it.
We got enough drops. Irreplaceable.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do a group sweep here because I'm in a hurry, but also because I mean this and thought about it earlier today. I truly appreciate you guys both. I did do this episode without a guest because I wanted to catch up with you guys and because I felt like I haven't seen you guys enough this summer and had a chance to really talk to you guys. We could have had guests, but I just wanted to talk to you guys and hang out and have a session with the gang. I truly appreciate both you guys and your unique talents in what you do. Everything that you do and the people you are, you're both very special individuals. I love you both, and I thank you for being here.
Right on. Thank you.
That's it.
Love you too.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thank you guys so much for being inspirational. Thank you for being artists. You're both beautiful and talented. Mm-hmm. We have a great vibe together, and that's magic.
Yeah, I love you guys. I feel like we're the three amigos, and I want to just be a part of your guys' life for a long time.
Cool.
Do it.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys. So thank you for hanging out. We'll be back next week. Next week we have Tony Russell and Devin Devine coming in studio.
Yay!
Going to be a fun episode. They're going to be talking about the second volume of their Kiss the Messenger series. Excited for that. Love those guys. Guys, considering I don't know exactly when this is going to come out, just go to the website. The website's back up. You can check my calendar. Follow me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way to get updates on my where I'm at, but it's Deece World. Again, I'm going to be all over the place. I'll be November 21st, the Bartlett. We're going to be doing the Spokane Comedy Mixtape Volume 2, first weekend of November, and the first and last weekend of November, I'll be in Richland, and Joker's Comedy Club and the Spokane Comedy Club, the 9th through 11th opening for Dan Cummins, and a bunch of other shit, guys. So check it out. Coming up, I got an appearance on KYRS, so there I was, Never Any Ram Discussion, and a bunch of other shit, guys. So check out Jay at the Blue Door Theater. She's there every Friday through the month of November. They'll be doing No Clue.
October, babe. But
October.
Yeah.
And Traz, follow him on Instagram, Facebook. Check out his ventures and where he's going. And for the Social Hour, I am Deese, and for Jay and Traz.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I would like to apologize to My Sleep, The Walking Dead, Drunk Jay, Birthdays, Jay's Book Series, Russians, Gay Fruit, and Jay's Fiance. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
So. First off, Drunk Jay is delightful. She's a great singer. She's an even better dancer.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!